listening to Little Raleigh Radio, streaming at littleraleighradio.org. Hello and welcome to Inbound Raleigh, a podcast about transportation in Raleigh, North Carolina. I'm your host, Jennifer. My co-host James is out of town today, but I'm joined by a guest who's here to talk about bike share. For some background, Raleigh approved the bike share program in May of 2016. And if you're not familiar, bike share is just what it sounds like. It's stations where you can rent a bike and ride it for a while for a fee. You often rent by the day, or if you use it a lot, some programs allow you to pay annually or a monthly fee. And the idea is that stations are placed in different areas around the city, so you can pick up a bike in one place, ride it around, and drop it off somewhere else. A lot of cities have bike share options, including Charlotte, and you'll see it a lot in cities, especially with tourism. So Raleigh right now is in the process of choosing a vendor to operate the bike share program, and that brings us to our guest, Trung Vo. Trung is the bicycle and pedestrian program manager, and he can tell us more about the program and what's next. Welcome, Trung.
Hi, thank you.
So let's start with some background. Can you tell us a little bit more about your role?
Of course, yeah. So my role really covers two major buckets. There's one bucket of planning and implementation. So that's everything from designing bike lanes to thinking about where sidewalks should go. That's really getting lines on a map, from being lines on a map to being designed and then constructed and getting into the streets. And then the other side of my job is outreach and education. So May is Bike Month, and it's been a really busy month. There are a lot of city-planned events and rides, as well as other rides that we're supporting, like the Oaks and Spokes Festival, their events, as well as Bike MS and some other things that are going on during the month.
Cool. So what prompted a need for bike share in Raleigh?
So it really came out of this acknowledgement of this growing need for more mobility options, paired with more and more people riding bicycles. It's not just your recreational riders anymore that are, you know, riding long distances on the weekend. It's folks that are just trying to get around town. So bicycling is really fun. That's really the main reason why I ride and why I encourage people to ride. It's great to be able to provide another option to get around town.
All right. The city conducted a feasibility study in 2014. And based on that, they said, yes, bike share will work here, because there was some question about that. Yet, of course, so, some people are not so sure about it. It has its detractors. So what do you think? Are we ready for bike share?
So before I answer that question, Jennifer, I want to ask you, what are the detractors saying? And what do you think?
There's a mix of opinions. Some people think we're just not going to have much use out of it. And then other people, as I'm sure you read and heard, argue that it's only going to serve a small portion of the population because it is downtown focused, which obviously logistically makes sense.
Yeah. I think that bike share is going to do really well in Raleigh. And the concerns about low ridership or low use will probably... I think the best way to get around that is to design the system really well. So if you have a pretty poorly designed system, stations are in places where no one wants to go. It's really hard to check out the bikes. It's too expensive. Bikes are routinely broken down. Those sorts of things are going to reduce ridership. So if we can maintain the system really well, then we should see a lot more people riding, and making sure that there are stations where people live, where people work, and making it easy to get around.
So when the council passed this in 2016, which is about a year ago now, they said they were estimating, the staff were estimating it would take about 2 years to implement the program. So, yeah, we're about the halfway mark. Are we still on track to see bikes on the streets this time next year?
We are, yeah. So the plan is to launch in March of 2018.
Cool.
As soon as we can negotiate a contract with the bike share vendor, it'll be about 6 to 7 months after that point to launch.
Okay. And that brings us to the latest bike share viewing sessions. We just had those take place, each one with a different option for our bike share vendor. Hopefully some of you listeners made it out to those. Can you tell us what stood out? You had many more people apply for it, I'm pretty sure. So what stood out for those three? Why were they narrowed down from the rest?
Yeah, you're right. So we had 7 proposals. And if you look at the request for proposals, we actually listed 7 different evaluation criteria. So the selection committee, which is made up of 6 city staff, we looked at each proposal and scored each one according to the team's leadership and how well they've partnered with each other. So each of the teams, there's really three major players on each of the teams. One is the equipment software vendor. They provide the equipment, the bikes, the stations, that sort of thing, as well as the mobile apps and the website. And then there is the system operator. So who's actually going to be running the system, maintaining the bikes, fixing the bikes, rebalancing, that sort of thing. And the third is site planning. So planning ahead for the 30 different locations across the city, and then really getting into the nitty gritty details like site, permitting and thinking about where the station actually goes. Will it go on the sidewalk? Does it go in the street? That sort of thing. And so we scored each team based on their leadership, their how well they've partnered with each other, their overall experience. Have they implemented systems of this size in similar cities? Their financial stability, what their proposed approach is for the Raleigh Bike Share system, how they intend to make the system socially equitable, and then finally their proposed timeline, which was actually fairly similar for all, pretty much across the board, and then their cost proposal, which varied pretty greatly.
Okay. And we'll be talking about cost in just a second. So I was only able to attend one of the sessions, so I couldn't compare the different bicycles and systems. Can you talk about some of the main differences you noticed among the three?
Yeah, so there's the three equipment vendors that put on demos. There's Bewegan. They're based out of Montreal. There's Social Bicycles, or SoBe for short, and they're out of New York City. And then there's B-Cycle, who is out of Waterloo, Wisconsin. One of the similarities between the bikes is that they're all really durable. They're really sturdy, and that means that they're pretty heavy. But they all have a pretty relaxed riding position. Some of the differences is Bewegan, they actually tout an electric assist option for their bikes, which is pretty interesting. And SoBe's bikes have a keypad loaded on or located on the back of their the bikes that allow users to check out the bikes without going to a kiosk. And then B-Cycle's newest bike, what they call the Dash, it's got a color display between the handlebars, and it also provides turn-by-turn voice navigation, which is pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, that is cool. So you talk about the more casual riding. So is that more of the upright? Like I always think of them as beach bicycles.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly, yep.
And then as far as the checkout process, did you feel like all three of them were pretty easy to understand for someone who has never even thought about bike share before in their life and they're walking up to this thing?
Yeah, I mean, you might need just a little bit of a primer just to know maybe that if there isn't a kiosk, then you've got to download the app, you know. And that kind of information is pretty easily communicated if there's just like a little panel that says, hey, download this app to check out a bike.
Okay. So obviously those sessions were open to the public. Can you tell us about some of the feedback that you received from people who checked them out?
So we weren't necessarily asking for feedback. It really was just a chance for the public to see what's going on, to preview the bikes, to get people excited. But then also it was great for city staff to be able to check out the bikes as well. But we still did get some comments. Like I mentioned, the weight of the bikes, I mean, they're pretty heavy. You know, a typical bike that you would buy as, for yourself might weigh 25, 30 pounds. These bikes are more like 50 to 60 pounds. And especially when you're thinking about SoBe's bikes with keypad on the back, or Bewegan's bikes with the motor and then the battery. I mean, they get kind of heavy, but they're high quality. They're made to endure the test of time, abuse from users, and weather and whatnot, because they sit outside and they're supposed to run 24/7. And then there's also quite a bit of chatter regarding electric assist bicycles. I didn't realize how polarizing they are. But they are a lot of them. A lot of the folks that came spoke pretty positively about them. But there was also some cautious negativity as well. But you were at the Bewegan demo, right? What did you think?
I'm okay with it, but I could see where. I mean, I don't want to get on one side or the other of this issue, but I guess the point of riding a bike is to ride a bike, so it's kind of weird. But Raleigh is very hilly, so maybe the electric assist is good if it would get more people out there.
Sure. Yeah.
I kind of talked about the easy way of renting the bikes. I know in a couple of cities I've tried, you have to go get a card in advance. You're saying a lot of times here it's going to be mobile app friendly. In terms of accessibility, not everyone out there thinks mobile app and smartphone. Is there a solution for those people?
There definitely is. So each of the vendors are proposing certain stations that will actually have payment kiosks. So if you don't have, if you don't already have a membership card, or if you don't have a mobile phone and you can't download the app, then you can pay via the kiosk. For those that are unbanked, we will be working with the operator and the vendor to accommodate cash payment.
Okay. So you said it's not the sessions weren't necessarily about feedback, but if people have feedback and they share that with you, is there a way to go online or check these out?
Yeah, they definitely can. So Bewegan, Social Bicycles, and B-Cycle is spelled B and then cycle. You can look them up online, and there's tons of information out there about them. If anyone does have any feedback, we'd be glad to hear it. You can reach me at bikeraleigh@raleighnc.gov.
Okay. So the big question everybody's wondering is, what happens next? When do we pick a vendor?
So the next couple of weeks, the selection committee will make a decision. But the really important date is June 6th. We will be presenting our recommended team to City Council for their approval.
Okay.
So please come out and support us.
Cool. You talked a little bit about bike share locations. The past reports indicated 30. Is that still about what we're shooting for?
It's about what we're shooting for. There are two teams that responded with a proposal for 30 bikes, or 30 stations and 300 bikes. There's one team that responded with a proposal for 35 stations and 350 bikes.
Okay. So it would be up to them to choose the locations, or would the city have a weigh in on that?
The city is really going to lead that effort.
Okay.
There will be site planning specific details that we're going to get the team's help on. But the 30 stations, the 30 locations for stations are really going to be up to city staff to determine with some feedback from the team.
Okay, because there was a mapping process a while back where people could give their input about that. So is that still all being figured out at this point?
Yeah, so that map, and there was really two parts to the feasibility study. There was the feasibility study, is bike share feasible? And that was produced early on in 2014. And then there was another part of the study called the implementation plan. And that really got into the where should the stations go? What kind of business model are we looking at? How much is it going to cost? All that. And I don't think that was ever made publicly available online, but I can include a link to it in the show notes if you'd like.
Yeah.
So those 30 stations, you can see them on a map, but so much has changed since 2014. For example, we know we want a station at Dorothea Dix, but Dorothea Dix was not a reality in 2014. Yeah. The Walnut Creek Wetland Center was suspiciously omitted from that first map. So I think really we're going to want something there. And then also I'm really passionate about making sure that bike share isn't just for a small portion of our community. I think that it should be something that can be used as transit. So there will be some locations that we tweak a little bit so that bike share is more accessible to more parts of the community.
Okay. That makes sense. So what's the timetable for the map? Because I know that's probably something people are really interested in. Like, is it going to be near me? Can I use it?
Yeah, so that will probably get figured out definitely in the first half of the planning process, because going through the permitting and site design for all of these stations is going to take some time. So we really want to get ahead of that. So that will likely happen in summer, early fall of this year.
Okay. So how much will bike share cost for users? Does it depend on which vendor you pick?
Not necessarily, but there's a couple different models. So the more traditional bike share payment structure is a membership program. So you might have someone pay $80 for a year, and that means that they can ride, they can have as many half-hour rides as they want. But if their ride goes beyond half an hour, there are usage fees beyond that. And then there are also monthly options and daily options. And then we're also looking at providing discounted memberships for students and for people that are low income. But there are some systems that are trending towards more of a transit payment structure where you pay by the trip. And I think we're going to be interested in kind of exploring those options and thinking about what would work best.
Okay, so it hasn't been finalized.
It hasn't been finalized,
okay.
No.
Okay. Cost is one of the reasons some people argued against bike share, not the cost to the rider, but the cost to the taxpayer, basically. So sounds like we got a $1.6 million federal grant, but the city will spend $425,000 to launch the program. And the NNO reported last year that they were estimating about $653,000 in annual operating costs. Now, if you get your what's it called, Farebox, you get your money back in fees, they were estimating about $215,000. So is that all still about right, or have those numbers changed?
So just to back up a little bit, Wake County is also a local match partner, so they contributed $200,000.
Oh, okay.
So the city of Raleigh, for the local match for the federal grant, it was just a little over $200,000. That $653,000 number came from the projection for year two of the bike share system from the implementation plan. And so that was 3 years ago. And then plus it's a projection. There is certainly the opportunity to secure more sponsorships. There's certainly the opportunity to have a higher ridership. And so maybe the rental revenues are going to be higher. So that 218 number, I really wouldn't hang my hat on that. It could be more, it could be less, but regardless, the city has set aside money to account for whatever the balance is.
Okay. And the 218 number, listeners, in case you're following all this math, that was considered the balance because they were expecting to get about $220,000 in sponsorships from local companies who have pledged that amount. So is somebody going to be like going out constantly and asking for those sponsorships? Is that your job?
No. Well, so we're in conversations with a couple organizations right now, but the heavy lifting of that is probably going to go to the team.
Okay.
The teams will have, they have sponsorship management companies on their teams to help with, securing and, maintaining those sponsorships.
Okay. Anything else I'm not asking about so far with bike share that you want to mention for people?
There has been some confusion about how to type bike share. So there's
like one word or two.
One word, two words. Oh, is it hyphenated or not hyphenated? It's really not the big of a deal. Everyone will know that you're talking about the same thing. But if you want to be consistent with what the city is doing, we're using the one word version of bike share
with a lowercase s.
Lowercase s.
Okay.
Lowercase
s. Well, I'm gonna call the New York Times and see what they've decided about this, and then we'll discuss.
and then finally, I would encourage everyone to come out to the June 6th City Council meeting. I think it starts at 1:00. If you're just interested in bike share, or if you want to support bike share, the presentation is going to go into the background of how we got to this point with the system, and then we will then be asking City Council to approve the contract with the team, and then the selection of the team.
Okay. Well, great. Thank you so much for joining us today to explain all this and give us an update. Listeners out there, we want to hear your thoughts on bike share and what you think about it. Please email us at inboundraleigh@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And our handle on all those platforms is inboundraleigh. Also, don't forget that our show airs first on Little Raleigh Radio, a nonprofit whose goal is to make sure that Raleigh's voices are heard. They provide all of our recording equipment and the studio, and we appreciate that help. So a big thank you to them. You can support us and other great shows by donating $5 a month at littleraleighradio.org. Thanks again, and we'll catch you next time.